Welcome to Dancin' Moon Songcast. I'm Scott Simpson, casting from Dancin' Moon Studio in Spearfish Canyon on the north end of the Black Hills of South Dakota, right on the banks of the Spearfish Creek. If you'd like to follow along, you can download a free PDF of my lyric book from scottsimpsonmusic.com/lyrics. And of course, you can find links to all my music there as well. So let's get casting and find out what song we're going to talk about this time. Well, this episode, we'll be taking a deeper look at a song called Gently, which came from 2008's Red EP. So we'll give a listen to Gently and talk a little bit about it on the other side.
Jack and Jill were best friends. He would follow her, she would follow him anywhere. Up the hill, they were thirsty. He lost his footing and tumbled down the hill. Right behind him came his drill. They went up thirsty, they're thirsty still. They're thirsty still. Thank you. so blue. It seems to me that you got nothing to do but dream.
Gently is a song that I distinctly remember the day that I finished writing it. It was in the early 90s, and we were living in York, Nebraska. I was not quite 30, probably. So it was maybe 1991, 92. I was well into the early stages of my teaching career. We had two daughters. I had a house and a mortgage. And for some reason, the three elements that inspired this song spoke to me. The first one, which is incredibly obvious, is the song, the round, Row, Row, Row Your Boat. So I was playing with those lyrics in my head. The second one was the nursery rhyme, Jack and Jill. The final one was the other nursery rhyme, Little Boy Blue. I've done this a couple of times, used some other source, whether it's a nursery rhyme or some literary source as inspiration. But this is the first time I've used really three different pieces and really kind of explored. I don't know if it's an alternative meaning or a deeper meaning, but anyway, something meaningful for me. But I recall when I finished writing the song, being moved to tears by the process and not really being able to explain why. And I don't know, I'm sure other songwriters, other artists experience this. We don't always know exactly what flips those emotional switches, pulls those emotional levers for us. But certainly this song in its genesis, in its creation, did that for me. I didn't record the song for years. Obviously, this came out on a 2008 EP that I put together called Red. When it was written, a good 14 years or so earlier than that. The song, nevertheless, was an important one to me, and that's one of the reasons why I resurrected it for that album in 2008. So we'll take a look at the lyrics and talk a little bit about that, and then talk a little bit about the music as well. So we begin with the piece that comes from Row, Row, Row Your Boat. The poet said that life was just a dream. He was talking to me. The poet said that life was like a stream. He was talking to me. And so you row your boat on gently down the stream, even when you think you're going to scream, because you know that life is just a dream. So like I said, I was kind of toying with the words from Row, Row, Row Your Boat, which is not really a deep, heavy piece of literary culture. But at the same time, I think that's a good source, looking at something that we may have looked past, easily overlooked, and saying, is there something more there? Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. What doesn't come into this new telling of this song is the merrily, merrily, merrily part. I think I wasn't feeling especially merry, but I was feeling the pressure to put on a merry face. As a young father, late 20s, working... working hard, feeling for the first time for the last few years at that time the heavy responsibility of being a father, of being a husband, of having a family, of having these financial obligations. I think it felt very much like rowing on a stream and putting a happy face on it. Even though there were times when I felt like I wanted to scream. And I know that's not unique to me, but, you know, of course, when you're in your late 20s, it seems like, wow, you're the first person who's ever experienced this kind of weight and angst. So now, as I look back the song, I try to have an empathy for the young man who wrote the song. I understand him. I see much more clearly now at age 55. Nevertheless, brought that young man to tears at the time. So we begin with that, and that kind of establishes the theme for the rest of the song, this idea of rowing on that stream and keeping a happy face on it, even though you feel like you're going to scream. The dream part is what's interesting. That comes in a little bit later with Little Boy Blue, I think. But I never did understand that part. That's what kind of suggested to me that row, row, row your boat was deeper than most people took it. Life is just a dream. That seems like it could be happy, but that's a really surface way to take it. Life is imaginary. Life is not real. Or maybe life is something that we experience that has deep not on the surface messages for us like dreams often do. Maybe it operates on a mythic level. Maybe that's the theme of the entire song, since we're digging into a few myths. Maybe Joseph Campbell would be proud. So we move on in the song. Well, Jack and Jill, they were best of friends. He would follow her and she would follow him anywhere, up the hill. They were thirsty. But Jackie lost his footing and tumbled down the hill. Right behind him came his Jill. They went up thirsty. They're thirsty still. they're thirsty still. So I recall a children's book, Jack and Jill, and seeing Jack and Jill, and it was always unclear as to whether they were friends or brother and sister, or something else. If they were, you know, boyfriend and girlfriend, little boyfriend girlfriend. I don't think it was very clear in the nursery rhyme. But as I was a young a boy, it ended in such a violent way. I mean, Jack fell down the hill and broke his crown. I mean, broke his head, and they tried to fix it up with, what was it, vinegar and brown paper. That was disturbing to me. This young man and the young woman who go up the hill and they're just trying to get some water. Okay, I'm assuming there's a well up there. But he trips and he falls down and he breaks his head, and Jill falls right behind him. Now, we don't hear what kind of injuries she has, but this nursery rhyme left more questions in my mind than anything else. And I think as I was dealing with it in the song, I was certainly thinking about marriage, certainly thinking about how Jack fell. And because this girl who was with him was right on his heels, the path he chose, the path that caused him to slip, she was so close that she went down with him. And so I think in a sense, this verse for me at that time was my own concern about what I was doing, what choices I was making. Were we living in the right place? Was I doing the right kind of work? I had two little daughters and a wife, and I really felt, because we were living a very a fairly traditional lifestyle in a fairly traditional community, and so that was kind of the mold we were coming out of. Although I think Cheryl and I have always been far more evenly partnered than that traditional family model that comes out of the traditional what you generally see in smaller rural communities here in the United States. I now realize, though, that I was laboring under that sense that I was really the head of the household, that it was all me, that if I'm making bad decisions, I'm hurting everybody. And you know, one sad thing about that is it prevents you from relying on your partner, on knowing that I'm not in this by myself. She has all these rich talents and all this rich wisdom to bring. Maybe we just need to bring Jill up to the front for a little bit. Maybe she can pick out the best route. But I think what I realized when I was a kid, they went up for a real specific purpose, to fetch a pail of water. They were obviously thirsty. They fell down the hill, and clearly they're still thirsty. They didn't get what they needed, and they got injured in the process. That thirst, that existential thirst, was another piece of this. What is it that we're thirsty for? What is it we're needing? And have I, you know, in my missteps, caused us to miss out on that? We're still thirsty. We're all still thirsty. They're thirsty still. That seemed to be a really important line. So we'll move on to the next section, which is grows out of Little Boy Blue. If you recall that one, Little Boy Blue, come blow your horn. The sheep are in the meadow, the cows are in the corn. And I think I recall having seeing an illustration of a little boy, lazy little boy. He's got his horn laying on his chest and he's asleep. And the cows and the sheep are just all over the place. And so it's a indictment of not doing your job, being lazy, when your job is to get up and blow the horn and let everybody know we got to get the cows and the sheep back in place. So Anyway, we'll take a look at the lyrics. Little boy, why do you look so blue? It seems to me you got nothing to do but dream. Sleep and dream of sheep. All the sheep are in the meadow, the cows are in the corn, all the people, they seem so forlorn. So leave your dreams, come blow your horn, come blow your horn. Like I said, late 20s, I was feeling the weight of work as well. I was a teacher. I had been teaching probably for 5 years, and was doing some graduate work and about to move into college, and not so sure that I was really, I was unclear as to whether or not I was any good at this teaching thing. I knew that I really wanted to just relax. I had things I wanted to do. I wanted to create. I wanted to imagine, to dream. I had so many different things, but work was this thing that keeps, people keep saying, Hey, get busy. You got this thing going on over here. Hey, don't get distracted. You got work over here to do. And so struggling with that, struggling with, what is the everyday work that I have to do, in relation to the bigger view of what life is about, some big, large work that I have to do, some big creation that I need to be about doing, the ultimate meaning of my life versus the what I do to get my pay, and that struggle, and what that means for me. And I think for me, the fact that Little Boy Blue has a horn, that there's this slightly musical element, you know, even at that time, obviously I'm writing songs. I'm this father, husband, teacher who's crawling into the corner with his guitar and writing songs. Obviously I felt like something about something important in my life was going to be wrapped up in music making. So Little Boy Blue seemed an apt nursery rhyme for this song. We end the song by coming back around to row, row, row your boat. And so you row your boat on gently down the stream, even when you think you're going to scream, because you know that life is just a dream. Life is just a dream. And that last line, I don't know. It's sort of a self-soothing. Maybe I'm going to wake up. Maybe I'm going to wake up and realize the real life that I'm supposed to be in. Or maybe I'll wake up to the fact that my life really is a dream. It's great. I've been struggling and all angsty over things that I didn't need to be worrying about. So anyway, as I said, that song came with tears to that 28, 29-year-old. And so I knew it was an important one for me to write, at least. In 2008, I literally dug up an old cassette recording of a bunch of old songs, and they became, for the most part, the Red EP, although I did write one new song for that, which I'll deal with in another episode. This was an older song that I hadn't looked at or thought about for a little while, and reviving it was great. I did something I don't often do, which was made it piano-based. I don't play piano well, but I had a keyboard and a sequencer that I was able to build it very carefully. And so the entire song is piano and mandolin and tambourine, and that's about it. And then vocals with some harmonies. I wanted it to be a little bit haunting. It seems kind of mythic. Once again, a la Joseph Campbell, trying to dig at the deeper meanings behind something, nursery rhymes that we've overlooked easily, and find that deeper, important meaning. So there, that is Gently from 2008's Red EP. You can find all my music at scottsimpsonmusic.com. Also find my lyrics there. You can also stream my music on Spotify, Apple Music, iHeartRadio, anywhere else that you like to stream your music. Thanks for joining me this episode. We have a new episode that comes out every Friday, and it's great to have you here as a part of Dancin' Moon Songcast. Be well.